What's up, everybody? Armand here, back with another episode. Today's guest, we have Mark Kahn. He's the founder of Hypa. They are a company that offer resources and education for adults with ADHD. So sometime around the pandemic, Mark was diagnosed with ADHD into his adulthood. And he said a lot of things just clicked. A lot of things made sense. And he kind of felt that it resonated with him. Funny enough, he kind of sought out symptoms because he saw a lot of like TikToks and social medias of people with ADHD, and he's like, wow, that hits close to home. But anyways, we talk a lot about habits for people with ADHD, what you can do to reduce your symptoms. There's things such as diet, there are supplements you can be taking. Two of his business partners are a neuroscientist and a dietitian, so they have a lot of science-backed research, a part of this education. And I think it's really helpful. Like, it's really helped me. I learned a lot about ADHD. And we talk about the one thing, or well, it's more like two things, two or one things that you can do to drastically reduce ADHD symptoms throughout your day. But you're going to have to take a listen, which I know you will. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Play Hard Podcast.
Work hard, play hard. Work hard, play hard. Work hard, play hard.
I'm going on my day with him after.
Nice.
Yeah, so Mark Kahn here is the founder of Hypa. It's resources and help for adult ADHD. And he's working on this with a dietitian and a neuroscientist, which is really awesome. How did you come about kind of this team and this idea for a company?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, I had ADHD my whole life, pretty much knew it, but only it came to lockdown to kind of like start seeing stories on Instagram and TikTok and go, oh, that's a little bit too close to home. And just thought, basically, I waited 2 years because in the UK, where we have the NHS, there's like a huge waiting list at the moment. And so once I sort of waited, got diagnosed, I basically saw a psychiatrist and she was pretty much like, here's some medication. Now it's time to leave. There's no support. And so I thought, well, there's got to be a lot of people out there like me who are adult and they're only really finding out that they're diagnosed or that they should go for like an ADHD assessment because their kids are starting to basically show ADHD symptoms.
Yeah.
And so off the back of that, I thought there's nothing out there for adults. Why don't I create something? And so I was waiting for my firstborn and I didn't really have a lot to do. I was kind of on paternity and I thought I'd like apply for a grant from the government. And so I did that and I was super surprised I got it. And
really? That's sick.
And so, yeah, I thought, oh, I'll start Hypa. And basically, I thought, well, what can I do as an MVP, minimum viable product concept? I thought, well, most adults with ADHD, it's fair to say, struggle with finishing books and reading them and just general attention in that. So I thought, if I just wrote another book, that probably wouldn't really be solving the problem. So I thought, well, I'll create a video series or a video course and then basically just covering like what actually ADHD is. And that's how I came up with the first module or course that I created called Hyper ADHD.
I like that. On the book thing, I totally agree. It's difficult for me to see a book through unless I have like a genuine interest in that topic, in which case it's the opposite. I'm almost obsessive. Like that's all I want. Like that's all I want to do. I've found with me, I've stopped putting pressure on finishing books and just like picking up whatever I find interesting, like kind of skimming through it, looking for certain parts and then being okay putting it down and starting something else. That just works.
I think that's it. And also how we consume information has changed so much. I think I was listening to a podcast the other day and it was saying that I think the total market cap of podcast revenue is only 2 billion and that's very, very small in the advertising world. So there's kind of like, there's either going to be something completely new or it's just getting started.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know that. And then the other thing was getting this grant. What was that process like?
It is hard for somebody with ADHD to write an extensive like business plan document and go through all of those. But basically I had a lot of free time and I sort of persevered with it and did a few drafts. I think it was, it's basically like there's a lot of things that you don't know are going to happen in the future, like what suppliers you're going to use and that kind of thing that they ask you to put in the grant beforehand. And so I think that's a big struggle because you're like, well, I don't want to spend time on like interviewing suppliers or people that might be able to fulfill the work if I don't know if I'm going to get it or not yet. That was one of the challenges. Just never having done a grant before, I think there is like, there's a first time for everything, right?
Yeah, that's very true. And so you're working on this with a dietitian and a neuroscientist. How did you kind of come across meeting with them and how did you know they were going to be important in this journey?
Yeah, so what happened was is I'm based in England on the south coast, a place called Portsmouth, where I grew up. And I'm based in Portsmouth University and within their innovation and research department. So I actually basically rent a desk here. And with that came quite a lot of like interesting connections. So I started to reach out to different professors and researchers at Portsmouth University. And one of them happened to be Dr. Matt Parker. He's a really interesting neuroscientist who specializes in how addiction and the brain work, basically. Yeah. And so off the back of that, spoke to him. I got him in for like a podcast interview. And basically we discovered there are some quite interesting areas and he really like helped review the content that I'd created. So I based a lot of the content off my own research and being a guinea pig of just trying things out. So yeah. It'd be, let's try exercising. Let's try different things to eat in terms of diet and see how that affects things and different rest breaks and stuff. So a lot of it was my own research just because obviously I had limited resources when I started it. And then the nutritionist, she's actually a really interesting lady who has a background as a bioscientist. So she has worked a lot in labs before she then moved into working with helping adults with ADHD with their diet. And it's really interesting. And just in general, when you, because there's so little out there for adults with ADHD, when you create something, you get kind of a lot of people come out of the woodwork and say, oh, this is really interesting. My friend told me about this. And then they've got some really interesting skills. And then all of a sudden you can really like start to develop a network of people with these kind of like amazing talents that you otherwise wouldn't have connected with otherwise.
Yeah. It sounds like you're really good at kind of spotting these opportunities as well. Cause I'm sure someone could just like bring up, oh, I know someone that's good, but your ability to just like follow through with that seems important as well.
Yeah. I think it's probably important to talk about how I got a bit resistance as well. There were some people from an academic point of view that said, I don't really have the time to do that, or I don't, that's not an area I specialize in. Yeah. And I guess my argument was that it's not an area that anybody is specializing in, which is where the problem is. And we kind of need to get more people looking into it. So that was kind of where I found it quite interesting, because actually it was trying to find almost like the diamonds in the rough of people who could help contribute to Hyper. That's not just the people that helped with the actual, creation of the modules and the courses. It's actually the people who've given all the feedback and tried it out as well, which have been really interesting.
Yeah, that is. And I bet that's been really informative as well. One thing, so I think it's really cool you mentioned about resistance and how sometimes people are maybe not like against, but like a little hesitant to help. Do you ever face like outright people are against what you're doing or the topic you're covering? Because I feel like, I don't know, I've known I had ADHD for a while. I didn't get diagnosed until I was like a bit older, probably like 18, 19, but like I've known it was there. I'm sure some people like go their whole life, you know, maybe you get diagnosed 30s, 40s, like you spend a good bit of time on this earth knowing this is something going on, but not really like, you know, not having that label, maybe not putting a name to it. And I'm sure that can be scary to some people. Like, do you ever face instances like that?
So I think in terms of people who basically come across Hyper, are they against it? I would say most people know, because actually, like, I think they see it as quite a positive thing and there isn't very much out there. And I think also it's self-directed. One of the areas I thought I might get some resistance from is people saying, well, you know, you're not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. You haven't gone to, you know, medical school or anything like that. But actually, I think I've got an advantage there in that I am creating something that is for people like me. So therefore, every video I create is under 2 minutes. Every video has some animation and some text animation to really break up. And yeah, so I'm really trying to like grab people's attention and interrupt them. Because I think that is where I've got the advantage, really, is I'm coming from an angle of somebody who's actually been there and done it. So I kind of get it. But yeah, I think in terms of people being sort of adverse to should I go and get diagnosed or not, I think I can only really go on my own experiences. And I think a lot of people go through probably a similar thing that I went through, that when it happened, I was kind of like, oh, so it's not my fault. And secondly, there was a lot of regret. I was like, well, I'd like to think I'm a fairly capable person and intelligent, but I haven't been able to achieve a lot of things that maybe some of my peer groups have because I haven't got to the finishing line with it. And that kind of bothered me for a little while. But now I think that everybody needs to go through it because it's like, well, what's the worst that could happen? I don't think my life's any worse off as a result of getting diagnosed. I actually think it's better now.
Yeah. And so what in your particular case of ADHD, what are the things that you notice present themselves?
I think part of it is basically having to interrupt someone to remember what you're about to say. That's one. And I think that's quite common. I think having like almost what I would describe as like a sort of, if you think of how like a tree would grow with different branches, you start with one idea, then leading to another one, then lead to another one. And then the original root, you kind of forgot what you were talking about in the first place. I think that's kind of part of creativity as well. And I think probably one of the other elements of it is like impulsivity around like, if you wanted examples of that, it would be like, you know, I'm really into basketball trainers and probably have too many, if you ask my other half. impulse spending, I think, needs to be managed. Definitely. And just, yeah, generally, those are a few of the things that I would say present. But then I think the other important part of that is that when does that become something that affects your life, i.e. somebody could be medically diagnosed with ADHD, or is it just something, well, some people are like, well, actually, I'm a little bit forgetful and I forgot my keys this morning.
Yeah.
You know, so then how do you differentiate between the two? And I think that's an important part so that you don't get people say, I think I'm a little bit ADHD or I think I'm a bit OCD today. You shouldn't be a bit of something. These are actual serious conditions that people have, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. I saw on the concept of like TikToks that kind of hit close to home. I saw this one where it was like this guy, it was like, this is what it looks like to have ADHD. This guy was like walking up and down the stairs. He was like walking down the stairs. He's like, wait, I forgot my keys. Goes upstairs back to his room. Oh, there's my wallet. Grabs his wallet, goes back downstairs and is like, wait, I needed my keys. And then like goes back upstairs. And just like that process, I was like, wow, I did that today. the amount of times I walk up and down the stairs because I forgot something. And then I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go. The impulse spending that hits close to home for me recently, I've been really trying to rein that in because I was like, this isn't good. And then the other one, what was the very first thing you said?
So it was the interrupting others.
That's what it is. Dude, that's the bane of my existence on this podcast is like knowing that my job is to listen and like be a host, but then sometimes I just like jump in and I'm like, wait, that's, I like, can't do that.
I know exactly what you mean there because I was thinking about it the other day when someone asked, what podcasts have you, you know, or what YouTube videos can I find out more about ADHD? And then I thought about it. I was like, most of them is actually, apart from my course content, is actually me interviewing other people because I go through quite a rigorous process of researching really interesting questions beforehand. Otherwise, I'm not sure it's not worth my time actually like doing the podcast and you know, speaking to this other expert and really like making the most of that time to make sure I've got very specific questions, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally get that. That's funny. It does present itself differently in different people, but I think there are like certain common threads where people with ADHD, we can like really relate and say, yeah, that is something that I go through. One for me is the like a kind of like distorted sense of timing. Like I'm either really early to something because I don't want to be late, or I'm like I'm aware of this deadline. Maybe let's say I have a meeting at 9. I'm aware at like 8:50, I'll be like, okay, I have a meeting at 9. I'll be like kind of waiting on my computer. And then I'll like 5 minutes in, I'm like, okay, my meeting's at 9, it's coming. And then it's 9:05 and I'm like, oh shit, like I'm late. And I have to get in the meeting. And yeah, somehow it's like, how did that happen? Like, I don't know how that happens sometimes.
So that the time blindness is what you're talking about. And you're either hugely early or really late. And there's kind of like a running joke, isn't there, on like social media that, oh no, I've got a meeting at 3 p.m. and it's 9 in the morning now. What am I going to do for the rest of the day?
I do that with doctor's appointments. If I have a doctor's appointment at 2, my whole day is spent thinking about, when am I going to go to this doctor's appointment? It's the weird, like, I don't know how to explain it, but I saw that on social media and I was like, no way. That it's one of those things, like, do you ever feel like something describes your life experience and you thought it was just you, but then it just like resonates really well? That's exactly how that felt.
Yeah. And I think also there's, so one of the things that I've started implementing is I use an app called Morgan.so. And that allows me to do like time blocking on Google Calendar so that then I can kind of have all my tasks in there and basically be able to go through and tick through them and give them like an allocated block of 10, 20, 30 minutes, an hour, and then sort of try and basically get through things that way. I think unless I have some kind of interruption, like a phone alarm, a calendar push notification, something like that, I am likely to miss a meeting. So I think that really helps me.
I love that you said that. That's the way that I've noticed in my experience how I can be productive. And I like to consider myself someone who can, like, has a high amount of output. Like, I can do a lot of work, I can get a lot done. And I really do attribute that to two things. One, writing down what I need to do. I do that a lot. I have a to-do list for, like, every Sunday, I write down what I need to do that week. And then I'll also do it the night before, because then I just take tasks from my Sunday list and just put it there. But then the other thing is time blocking and just like making sure that I have time set out to do work. I noticed that you said a lot of the education you do for ADHD is based around habits. What are some habits that people with ADHD can do to be more successful?
Yeah, that's a really good question to start off with. I was asked that. I did a talk for the University of Portsmouth's disability and neurodiversity lecturers and anybody who works in within the uni the other day, and they asked me what's the one thing that you should do, and I answered it and then changed my answer straight away. So the number one thing you should do is exercise first thing in the morning, and then what I changed my answer to was make sure that you get proper sleep the night before. So having like a well-optimized sleep environment sounds like overkill, but it's like if you're living alone, it's very different to if you're living with a partner. And I think having an optimized sleep environment is everything from having a blackout blind, making sure the temperature is optimized, and also basically looking at any phone screens or TV screens that you basically don't watch them like at least an hour before you go to bed. And it sounds really hard, but your ADHD symptoms will be significantly worse the next day if you haven't had enough sleep. And then your exercise performance will be pretty poor as well. So it all starts with sleep, and then getting that exercise first thing in the morning is like key to they've done like you know, medical studies on it at various US universities, both on children and adults, and the inattention, the focus, the impulsivity have all been reduced as a result of doing cardiovascular exercise. Wow. So I'd say that's probably the one thing.
Wow.
So it's definitely worth doing. And then just to answer your question around habits, ADHDers are very good at pairing things together. And so that is your kind of like shortcut or your hack to make sure things get done. So if you, for me, it's like if I'm going to the gym in the morning, it's like making sure my gym shorts and gym t-shirt are ready, like at the end of my bed, as an example. If you want to implement another habit around getting protein, as an example, after your workout, you know, try setting an alarm the night before to boil some eggs, as an example, and then making sure that they are actually visible in the morning, so you know you associate with, I finished my workout, now it's time to eat some protein as well. That's just like a couple of examples where you're basically doing your future self a favor in some ways, and that's how you're forming your habits. That's easier said than done. And I always say with any of this kind of advice is that there will be lapses, and it's all about not giving yourself as much of a hard time and realize that if you're learning anything or trying to implement any new habit, that you need to get, you're going to have a few repeated failures until you actually nail it, basically.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, that putting things, like combining different things, I totally agree. That's something that I mean, that's important for habits in general, like habit stacking, but yeah, no, that's really interesting. I'm still like kind of stuck also on this like workout. So does it, like, that's what I'm thinking of. Is it you have to work out first thing in the morning, or yeah, any workout throughout the day? And I say this, sorry, selfishly, because I didn't work out this morning. I was going to do it like around later, but yeah, no, I'm curious.
Yeah, so I think what it comes down to is a lot of people don't understand that having ADHD comes with having lots of energy, but not for the whole day. So for example, you can have lots of energy in the morning and then feel very burnt out later in the afternoon. And so when you exercise really helps with that. So one schedule you could do in terms of your productivity and your working schedule could be working out first thing in the morning, and then, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours later, starting work. And then that will give you a couple of hours of real, like, you know, fresh energy that you won't just be relying on like excess caffeine, lots of coffee, that kind of thing. I totally think, though, a lunchtime workout, if the logistics work out in terms of, do you have like a gym really close to you, or if you're working from home, if you've got enough space that you can sort of, you know, basically work out, that can work out really well. I do think that the key thing that is misunderstood when people say work out is that they have to work out for a long time, or they have to go really hard. And I actually think the opposite. I think you're working out to, you're moving enough to create some attention, which means like a 15 to 20 minute workout. Versus if you were doing like an hour and a half workout, and then you find that you get to the afternoon and then you crash, in terms of if your objective was to be more productive at work, that hasn't really worked, if that makes sense. So I would pick that. And then a further caveat to that is I find out if I work out doing cardio, basketball, too late into the evening, that affects my sleep. And therefore, I don't work out as much in the evenings. Or if I do, I leave at least 2 hours before I'm going to go to bed.
Does it make it more difficult for you to sleep?
Yeah, definitely. And that's a massive problem for most adults with ADHD, is getting to sleep. So that I feel like it's almost need to work that much, much harder in terms of like the optimization around that and the habits around before going to bed.
Yeah. Well, that's something I'm very much in agreement with. I think sleep is one of the most important things. And to your point, like, I didn't know it was an ADHD. I thought it was just a human thing that, like, the more you optimize your sleep, the better everything, you know, your next day is. That's a big part of also why I've noticed that my best morning routine starts the night before. Like, that's why I write down my tasks for the next day, is because if I know what I'm going to do that day, I'm well rested. You know, I do have my morning ritual, which usually workout is a part of it. And I feel a lot more focused. And lately I've been like really keeping track of my energy levels and just seeing what works, what doesn't work. So I'm curious, like, this lately has been working for me, and out of everything you've researched, I'd like to know if there's something backing it, you know? I'm just doing it because it works. But one thing I've noticed is that certain types of supplements are helpful for ADHD. So like magnesium and fish oil, that was what someone recommended to me. And I do feel a bit more, like, some symptoms have gone down. But then the other big thing is, if you listen to Dr. Andrew Huberman at all, he says drink caffeine 2 hours after you wake up. Like, that's when you should have your caffeine. And I noticed that causes a lot less likelihood of me crashing, you know, at 2 or 3 later on in the day when I do something like that? What are your thoughts on everything just mentioned?
I think a lot of it is like cause and causality. Like, as in, if you go for a workout first thing in the morning, you wouldn't need the coffee. So then you're exactly. either likely yeah. to not have it, or you have it later on. I think that's part of it. And then in terms of the supplements, I did a whole video on this with Sophie Tully, who's the nutritionist who worked on Hyper Energy. And part of it is having like a budget for supplements, and also going for like the high quality ones, rather than necessarily kind of going for the cheapest and trying to, you know, make sure that you get lots of different supplements. So me personally, this is just what I've tried on myself. I find that magnesium works really well to help me get to sleep. Obviously, different people take it at different times of the day. And I also have an omega-3 oils like first thing in the morning as like a supplement. And then I think adults with ADHD also need to consider, like, they struggle with certain supplements to for their body to actually methylate them. So that was something I learned from Dr. Matt Parker, is that in actual fact, like, breaking down vitamin B is harder. And then just in general, like, the body, almost, if you think of it like the brain needs more fuel. If you have ADHD, if you think of it like a car, so therefore you've got to be like making sure that you don't skip meals if you're in hyperfocus, and also that maybe you have an increase in some of your protein, as an example. But it's really about balance with it. And the big thing that I discovered is it's about accessibility as well. So it's, if you take the egg and the omelet example, it's all very well saying, well, an omelet's got, you know, more nutrition in that, it's got veg and you've got your protein in the egg and everything else. But it's like, if you've got ADHD and you've got to go to the shop and you get into sort of paralysis around what veg am I going to choose? Oh, I haven't got anything at home. Now I can't be bothered. All of a sudden you haven't eaten anything. So it's like, what is the most accessible food that yeah. is easy to create? And I would look at it on sort of, you know, a scale, something like a Huel shake, you know, fantastic, because it's really, really easy. Do you want to have that all the time? Maybe not. Maybe you want to, you know, be creative and cook something like really nice, and that when you've got a bit more time in the evening. Maybe in the mornings, you're actually like looking to get something that's very accessible and quick. And that's kind of when your shakes and that kind of thing come in.
Yeah. Wow. Accessibility. Yeah, that makes total sense. That's exactly what I do for my breakfast. I just cook, like, usually it's 2 eggs and a smoothie. Like,
yeah,
I keep it pretty similar. Like, I vary this type of smoothie, but, like, yeah, no, it's just because, like, I know how important mornings are for me as a person. And then also, just like from a productivity standpoint, like, I know this is the time where I get the most done. So I try yeah. to make the non-work time like as seamless and, you know, mindless as possible. Like, I don't have to think about making a smoothie. I know what I'm doing. I just, you know, grab the scoops of everything, throw it in the blender, call it a day. But yeah, accessibility, I think that's a fantastic way of looking at it.
Yeah.
So what, Mark, what are your kind of routines? Like, what habits work for you that you've noticed in your life?
So the getting up, going to the gym straight away. If that's not the gym, that's like running or cycling or driving to the basketball court. And basically trying to, I do like a cardiovascular exercise. So it could be as short as like 5 or 10 minutes on like the bike, and then I'll do some weights. But really, I've noticed that my attention and focus is much better when I do cardiovascular exercise over doing weightlifting. And then I'll have like a very small breakfast. So it'll be like 2 boiled eggs, maybe a bit of veg, but really I keep my breakfast meal fairly small. And then I'll have kind of a, you know, fairly balanced lunch that will be like salad with yeah. some protein, that kind of thing. And then, yeah, similar for dinner. And I'll try and like cut down the carbs at lunchtime, because I know that gives me brain fog for the afternoon. So I'll try and load my carbs for the evening and not for the morning. And yeah, just that's in terms of how, yeah. And then I, What I try and do is, yeah, like in terms of number of times. So I'll go to the gym about two or three times a week, play basketball two or three times a week, depending on the weather. And that's pretty much it, really. And then I try to get to sleep before about 9:30, 10 o'clock. And then I have a setting on my phone to switch off all social media apps like an hour before bed. And that really helps, I think, because then that kind of like almost like a virtual signal saying it's actually time to go to bed now.
What app is that?
It's not an app. It's a setting on the iPhone. So you can actually just go basically into the settings and switch it off at a specific time, like night mode. Yeah, I find that really helps. And then I don't think I can switch them on again until like 9 a.m. There are other apps you can use that have like a more in-depth version of that, but I'm just trying to keep it simple, basically.
What kind of habits have you had to take out of your life?
Good question. I think part of it would be impulse spending. So trying to remind myself that actually, do I need this right now? That can be accountability. So it can be asking someone else like, oh, I've just seen this. What do you think of it? Yeah, you don't really need that, Mark. Yeah. You know, that's one way of doing it. So having accountability and then, I think like going to bed earlier, if you want to then do the workout in the morning. And then I used to kind of stay up really late and watch Netflix and YouTube and stuff. And it's like, if you do that, then you've then made a decision of what you're doing the next day. So I'm the first person to say I'm not perfect, but at the same time, I think my habits are significantly better than they were, say, like a year or two ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's, you know, that's life. We're just out here trying to get better.
Yeah.
A year or two ago, we were in lockdown and God, were my habits not good.
No.
Real quick basketball thing. So I know that's a big thing you like to do. That's a big hobby. How do you keep up with basketball going on right now?
Yeah, I do. So in terms of, do you mean like as in the professional leagues, like the NBA
yes.
and that kind of thing?
Like the first question I was going to say, what are your thoughts on this whole Ja Morant thing?
I'm fine in the West. I mean, I grew up on Michael Jordan and that sort of era, and it seemed that if you were a player, you would want to beat the competition, not join them. That's kind of my first thought on things. But my second thoughts on this year is I have no idea who's going to win because it's just all been thrown out the window, isn't it? Who knows, basically.
Do you have is there anyone that you're putting your money on, any team that calls your name?
I do love Curry, but he's just been knocked out, isn't he? But I think the Lakers look super strong, basically. I think it's going to be very, I mean, Denver could beat them, but it's probably likely that they might go to the finals. But when this gets published, I'll be eating my words, won't I?
Yeah, that's true. This is a few weeks in. Also, it's like one thing I'm thinking is, I think it would be really cool if LeBron got another ring. Did you see the Air Jordan movie?
I saw it 2 nights ago. Yeah,
What were your thoughts?
I thought it was very good. My friend who I trained with this morning brought up a good point. He said it must be the lowest budget film of its kind, because if you think about it, they didn't have many sets, did they? You never saw Michael Jordan. You always saw the back of his head. And I was like, actually, it's a really good point. They literally had the inside of an office, a gym, and like somebody's house, and that was it, wasn't it?
Yeah, wow, I never thought of that. And it had some pretty, they probably spent their budget on the actors because it had some pretty good people in that movie.
Yeah. No, I really enjoyed the actors, the fact they had, what is it, Matt Damon, Chris
Ben
Tucker.
Ben Affleck, Chris Tucker, Jason Bateman. But Ben Affleck actually directed that movie, I saw later.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Yeah, that was funny. It was a good one. We can get into basketball. You as a basketball player, I know you love playing the sport. What's like your history with basketball?
I discovered basketball when I was at school, and a teacher sort of introduced me to a player who was in the year above me, who was like the best basketball player in the school, but I wasn't very good at the time. And so I just kind of started playing basically with a kid that lived on the same road as me. And then we used to go to this local court, and basically like you would just play other players. And I sucked for many, many months. And then I started to get better. And when I went back to school, I wasn't having a great time at school. And I became quite good. And I was one of the best players in my year. And then basically like that was good in terms of my self-development, my confidence and everything else. And just like basketball like really took off in the UK in the 90s. And it was on TV. And, you know, I think Portsmouth, where I live, they actually won the national league like a few years before, and there was all these hoops that just sprung up. They weren't particularly good quality hoops, but they were like funded by the lottery, and it just meant that people had somewhere to play. And I went to basketball camp one summer. That was really good fun, and you got to play a lot of other players that were sort of from out of town and that kind of thing. But yeah, like basketball has always been like a I think for me, it's been like a good for my mental health. I only picked up a ball about 4 years ago and started playing again. So obviously I'd missed a few years realized that I needed to get in shape, and I'm still trying to achieve that. But, I'm doing okay for a man my age. So.
Basketball has got to be one of the most efficient ways to burn calories, like fun and efficient. Because like,
exactly,
if you're playing in pickup, you're sprinting the whole time. Like, it's exhausting, but then it's also tons of fun, and it's just a good game.
It's also, I only realized the other day, it's very muscle memory focused. So as in, if you stop shooting for like a week, you notice because you don't get as many in. So.
Yes, that's a really good point. But also, if you are consistently shooting, like there's one point where I was playing a ton, and I'd never consider myself like a great basketball player, but I do remember very clearly this one time where I kind of understood what it meant to be automatic. Like it would just, I would let it go, and the ball would go in, and I wouldn't even think about it much, and I was like, oh, that's cool.
Definitely, yeah.
But I realized, we have different footballs, don't we? For American football, one thing that I was just thinking is like, that's a simpler game to play pickup almost than basketball. Because with basketball, you need the hoop, you need a court.
Yeah.
And that you just need like the football. Yet you see more people playing basketball and pickup basketball than you ever do pick up football. And the reason I mentioned we have different footballs is because I don't think that's the case with soccer. I think people just play soccer anywhere, anytime, wherever. But I digress.
Well, but you also, if you've got a basketball, you can just rock up to the court, and there's normally not a lot of communication. You just see whoever's there, right? It's like you don't know before you leave the house if anyone's going to be there or not. Whereas with football, you kind of need a plan. And if you've ever tried organizing a bunch of people for a sporting game, you just don't know who's going to come and who isn't.
Yeah. You're trying to get scheduled. Yeah, that was a lot easier in high school when we all didn't have shit to do. But it's like you're trying to get our schedules together. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
No, that's a really good point, because it's one of those things where you can pull up and play pickup with others, or you can play by yourself. Regardless, you're going to have a good time. Whereas no one really wants to throw a football to themselves and catch it.
No.
I guess with soccer, you can shoot around and stuff, maybe pass against a wall, but that's different. Do you have a Premier League team that you follow?
I tend to watch basically when England play. So like if we play in the World Cup or the Euros and that kind of thing. But where I'm from, Portsmouth, we're known for like the loudest team in the league. We're not a Premiership team. We were a few years ago now, like I think 10 years ago. But generally, like, people know Portsmouth for their fans, because I think when they went to Wembley, there was like 100,000 people that traveled to Wembley.
That's cool, yeah.
Yeah, and there's only 200,000 people in Portsmouth. So a lot of these people had traveled from all over just to go see, you know. So
that's nuts.
Really crazy.
You had half the population of Portsmouth show up to Wembley. Yeah, that's incredible. Okay, so basketball and working out are things you like to do, but you also like going out to pubs and food markets. So what are some of the types of like casual fun things you do?
Yeah, well, so it was started in America, the whole craft beer sort of scene and trend.
Yeah.
But over the last, I don't know, like 10 years, it's become like really, really big over here. And I used to live in London where it was basically like a lot of the top breweries are. But since I've moved back, there's been quite a few independent craft breweries started. I think there's about four. And we're only an island of like, I think it's 200,000 people. So one of the most densely populated cities in the UK, or if not Europe, I think outside London. So there's a lot of people here. And I think, I really enjoy, like, I think not just the beer, because generally it is a better quality, but there's also like a community around it, and you tend to see, similar faces and that kind of thing. It's really good.
Would you consider yourself someone who's like big in the community in Portsmouth? Like, do you try meeting as many people as you can, things like that?
Yeah, I think I'm finding it harder as I get older because I've got less time because I'm running a business. And then also I've just had a little daughter. And so it's kind of, there's less time to meet newer people. I try and spend more time with the existing people that I've already developed relationships with over the years. And I think in terms of trying to get involved in the community, I do with like the local basketball community as an example. So they did a crowdfunder to create a new court, and that was called Orchard Park. You can see it on Instagram. It's pretty impressive what they did in terms of the artwork on the court and everything. And I just volunteered basically for the opening 2v2 tournament. And
Nice. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, all those kind of things. And just, they were trying to raise money for it. I did a bit of like free consultancy to get people to pledge some money towards the crowdfunder, and that, just little things like that. So they're not like, what I'm trying not to do is take on new projects, which is a classic thing to say yes to everything.
Yes.
And not be very good at any of it. So
dude, that's another thing that's been the bane of my existence lately. I've slowly but surely been cutting ties with the things that don't serve me and like trying to narrow my focus, if you will, especially from a work perspective, and just like figure out what I'm trying to do and everything. But it's a work in progress for sure.
Yep, definitely.
And then another thing I saw is you like to hit up the local board game cafes. What's your board game of choice?
Oh yeah, good question. So I think it's mainly like the classics, like the kind of Monopoly and Jenga and all of those kind of ones, really. But there's also some sort of newer ones that there's a place that's recently opened, so I haven't been there too many times because it hasn't been open that long. So, and I've there's just a few in there. I think it's more, what's more interesting of which game you play is the type of game. So as in, I was playing with my other half, and we tend to enjoy the ones where we're competing against each other, the ones we had to work together, not so much.
Of course.
So I don't know what that says about us, but
a competitive bunch.
Exactly, yeah.
No, that's sweet. Yeah. They've got to have one here. That sounds like fun. My family used to play a lot of board games. We used to play a lot of Monopoly when I was a kid. I remember that. And we stopped because, number one, the fights. But number two was how it was how long these damn games would take.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
If you're really playing Monopoly, like, we would have to pause and like set the board aside. But no one really trusted anyone to not do something to the board. So like we stopped.
There's that point in the game when someone has clearly won and the others just don't want to play it yet, anymore. So you're like, oh, I'm going to go watch TV now. It's just like...
Yeah, that was usually...
So you never really finish a game, dude.
Exactly. Everyone just resigns.
Yeah.
All right, Mark. Well, now it's time for the closing questions. Just like a couple of quick questions to get to know you right before we wrap up the show. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, sweet. These are more simple, so it's kind of like, what kind of music do you listen to?
So lots of different music, but used to be a big hip-hop fan, still listen to a bit of hip-hop from the 90s. And then more recently, I've been into like 70s soul and disco because I've realized quite a lot of hip hop is actually sampled from that.
Yeah.
And if you listen to some of the most
language.
Yeah. And I feel like you can't listen to like a 70s disco or soul tune and not be in a good mood at the end of it. So, yeah.
100, that's what I always say. 70s funk is my favorite genre. And I always say it's because it'll put you in the best mood possible. Like you can't listen to songs with that much groove and not want to dance. It's just not like I've yet to meet someone. I don't know. But yeah, you're speaking my language. I'm saying like 70s funk, disco, all of that is some of my favorite types of music.
Yep.
Now, what kind of movies, TV shows, or podcast recommendations do you have for the audience?
Oh, good question. I watched the Mark Manson one based on his book, The Subtle Art of Not. I'm sure you know the rest of the words.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really good because it was a bit different. And then in terms of podcasts that I listen to, I do really like, for entrepreneurs, I really like My First Million. I think it's one of my favorite ones.
That's a really good one.
Very good. And The Diary of a CEO by Stephen Bartlett is really good as well. I think apart from that, that's kind of all I have time to listen to. But I try and switch them up every now and again.
Do you listen to Acquired at all?
Yes, I have listened to that a few times, yeah.
I really like that one. That's been lately my go-to gym podcast. I really like how it's just like really long stories, so I can just like get lost to go like at the gym. It's fantastic. What kind of books are you reading right now, if any at all?
Just trying to think. So, what was the last book I read? So some of the classic psychology ones, like the Robert Cialdini.
Influence?
Influence. There's another one, I can't remember the name of the author, but it's called Yes. And then the other one I was reading was basically the Miles Framework. So this is all about your money, influence, location, expertise, social status, and creating like a framework around confidence, I guess, and kind of going, oh, actually, this person might be living in this city, but I'm in a different city and we've got different advantages, you know? I really like that. Trying to think if there's anything else. I actually watch a lot of YouTube because I find that some of the best content is on there. So that will cross over to some of the podcasts that I listen to are now on YouTube.
Do you have any favorite channels?
Obviously love the Andrew Huberman stuff. I think that's good. Joe Rogan as well. And then I actually really like Chris Williamson as well, as a British guy. He does a lot of Modern Wisdom. I think that's an exceptional podcast. But there's a lot of crossover with the guests, aren't they? In terms of they tend to you watch one and you see another. I think
It's like when they're on like a media tour, you can kind of tell they tell the same stories, things like that.
Yeah. And I mean, I think being from a marketing background as well, I really like Alex Hormozy, and some of his interviews that he's been on have been really kind of, I've probably learned, you know, some amazing lessons from that, you know. So
That dude puts out a lot of free, very valuable content.
Yeah.
All right. Sweet. Last question is, where can people find you and your company?
So, of course. So if you want to connect with me on LinkedIn, it's just linkedin.com/in/mark with a K and then can. And then if you want to check out Hyper, probably best to go to, so it's Hyper spelled HYYPA.com. And you can also go to the same website /hyper-energy. And that will actually get you the Hyper Energy course, and you can see a sample of it on there and what it's all about. 40 minutes of basically exercise, rest, and diet to help optimize your focus and energy.
Sweet. I'll throw all of those in the show notes below. Mark, thank you very much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. Have a good one.
Thanks. Bye.